afraid you're fixing to wear out all the doo-doo-doos. I never known you to be a stutterer there hung up on the doo-doos. Good music. Good job. Yeah, I'd encourage you, if you have the opportunity sometime, to go where they're playing, the restaurant and all. It's an encouragement to them, but you'll hear good music and pick the right spot. You'll have good food. We had both the other night. And despite all the comments from the peanut gallery, the guy asked me where I wanted to sit. And I said, well, I sure don't want them to sit my back to her. I can tell you that right now. So they set us down there, and there was a pillar. So I made sure I scooted my chair, and then I told her, got them eyes where I could watch her. They did really good. If you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Corinthians, very familiar passage. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I will compliment Danny and Debbie. The music that they do is not any different. And, you know, people have a hunger to hear about Jesus. They may not openly tell you that, but they do. And the reception to their music in there is one of the things that we noticed. They really enjoyed. And I don't want to give her the big head, but I got to brag on Miss Debbie. She did some of her solo songs, and she got a real bit nice applause and everything for them. Yeah, you paying them off? Okay. But she did, and we've been there several times before. At the very end, if you're there at the end, she tells them, you can hear us play at the Cowboy Church and other good musicians. She puts a plug in for us, so we appreciate that. Title of the message is Sharing Jesus. You go, wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 13 is about love. It is. But we want to look at it a little bit differently this morning rather than talking about love itself, and I think you'll understand. So I invite you to stand, if you're able, to honor the reading of God's Word. As we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked, and it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things, and it endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. You may be seated. So throughout Scripture, we find the fact that it tells us in John that God is love. We also read in Matthew of the Great Commission that you and I who belong to Jesus Christ are to go out and make disciples. We're to share the good news. We're to share the gospel. So for a moment, think about that. A lot of times there's a lot of resistance out of Christians that says, well, I can't go share. I don't know the book well enough. I don't know what to say. And we get a lot of excuses. I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. But I want you to look at it in this perspective of what we just read. There's people in our lives, at least one, that you have in your life, maybe more, but you can think of those folks that when you hear about loving others, it's difficult. They're not lovable. Matter of fact, they're detestable. You'd prefer not to be around them if you can keep from it. Those folks generally are very self-centered. They're negative. They're where us Texicans talk about, if we gave you a new rope to be hung, you'd complain about it. Okay? Is they're just downers. And you try to avoid them at all costs, because if you're there and listen to them very long, when you were up on the cloud 9, you're down about -9 time you get away from them, and you go, why did I ever stop to even say hello? So all of y'all know them people, right? Could be you've been one of those people. And at times, we are. But yet, God loves them. God loved you enough He sent His Son. As crazy as our world is today, if He hadn't have done it 2,000 years ago, He'd send His Son today. We pretty messed up across the world with all the things that we see. But God had sent Jesus again. So what is it about sharing love or sharing Jesus? Because you see, it becomes synonymous. When it tells us to go and make disciples, it doesn't mean that we have to go and take our Bible and read to them from the Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. Okay? That's not it. That doesn't mean we have to beat them over the head with the Bible neither. Although our mom and dad may have thought that hitting us with an algebra book would make us absorb algebra, it didn't work. Okay? It reminds me of everybody saying how bad guns are. No, I've had one of them guns over there that they complain about sit in that gun cabinet for over 20-something years, and it ain't gone off yet until I pull the trigger. It's not the gun. It's the owner of that finger. Okay, that pulls the trigger. And so when we look at what it is to share Jesus, you know, God always makes everything simple, folks. He made coming to Jesus simple. All you have to do is ask. He makes everything simple in the fact that all you have to do is share Jesus. And the easy way you share Jesus is simply loving others. Showing them the mercy and the grace that God showed you. Now, that didn't mean always, you know, that, well, if I give something, if I give them money, if I give them food, if I give them this, then that's what I'm doing. Maybe. You go, wait a minute, what do you mean maybe? It's where your heart's at. Are you giving them what they want so they just go away? You know, back to that detestable person, they go, I need your help with it. Okay, hurry up. Tell me what it is so you can go away and I can get away from you. That ain't loving them. That's being self-centered. And if you really be honest with yourself and you think back for a moment, before you knew Jesus Christ, you were probably one of those people who were negative, self-centered, only wanted to talk about you. And when people brought about their problems, you would say, oh, well, that was something like happened to me. And you tell them your whole story and you've never heard their story yet. Look back at the scripture. He says, though I speak of the tongues of men, there's been a lot of attributes put to that about speaking in tongues. What it really means is, though I could talk in every language that everybody would understand. Then he says, and of angels. Well, that means I got to speak in tongues, right? Think about it a minute. Who do the angels talk to? Who do they praise day in and day out? He says, if I could speak that every man, woman, child would understand my language, and I could also speak the language of God. That's who the angels talk to. You see, when Jesus gave us the model prayer, he says, forgive those who trespass against me, as I am forgiven. You see, if we're not willing to forgive, how can we expect God to forgive us? Because we're not speaking His language. His language is, I forgive. Don't think so? Look at the attributes for a moment of love. Skip down a couple of verses. Love suffers, in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. It hopes all things and endures all things. You know, when I read that, one name comes to mind, and that's my Savior, Jesus Christ. He's long-suffering with me. He endures me. He forgives me. And the greatest portion, we go through each one of those, the greatest portion lies in verse 8. Love never fails. It doesn't matter what I have done. If I go to Him with a humble heart and ask for forgiveness, guess what? It's wiped away. When you look throughout the Bible and you see the great men of the Bible, none of them were perfect. All of them did bad things. And what did it say when they came and asked for forgiveness? He forgave. He forgave. He forgave. We live in a culture that currently, if you say something that I don't necessarily agree with, you've hurt my feelings. And therefore, you can't say it no more. And in fact, if it's at the workplace, we'll pass a policy that says we'll fire you if you do that. We'll pass laws that say you can't do that. Because you hurt my feelings. And this message may hurt some of your feelings. But the deal is, what he just said there in verse 6, it does not rejoice in iniquity, but in rejoices in the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. But we can't fix what's wrong if we haven't heard the truth of the way it ought to be. And yet, God's love, Jesus' love, endures all things. You look back when He hung upon the cross. What was His prayer to the Father? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was fully aware of what was happening physically to Him. the pain, the torture. He had already endured the night before in the trial what he was enduring on the cross when they nailed those spikes through his hands and his feet. And yet, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they offered him the gall to drink, when they jeered at him, they finally took a spear and run it through his side. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, the simple part of sharing Jesus, Debbie and him, Danny and he clicked on that a while ago when he said, the more we serve him, the longer we serve him, the more we want to be like him. You want to be like Jesus? 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 10. That's Jesus. John put it another way. He said, God is love. That's Jesus. That's what Paul began to see. He said, all these things, if I can do all of those things, they are nothing if I don't have love in it. See, oftentimes Christians get bound up in the idea, I have my salvation, I've accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and so I'm done. I don't have to do anything else. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew, Jesus' word, Matthew recorded it, says, go ye therefore, teaching, making disciples. That's part of our job. That doesn't mean you have to preach to them. It means that you love them, even when they're not lovable. Somebody loved you enough to tell you about Jesus Christ. Somebody took the time to spend with you and to share the good news. It wasn't beating you over the head, it was sharing. A lot of us were lucky enough that it was a family member who loved us enough to share the gospel. If you really want to talk about a parent's love of their children, a dad and a mom, they share Jesus Christ from the very outset with that child. They bring that child up in hearing Bible stories, in knowing about Jesus Christ. Solomon says, train up a child and he'll not depart from it. He may depart for a little while, but guess what? He always comes back to the roots. Remember, everything with the Lord comes full circle, right? Some of you in here who have your moms or your dads or your grandparents will say, yeah, I can totally understand that because my mom or dad's becoming more childlike every day the older they get older. And we do. But that doesn't keep you from loving them. And our Father has more love for you and I than we could ever love our child. It may not seem possible, but it is. That's how much He loves us. So when you come up with those people that are a little bit detestable and you go, yeah, you know, I'd really rather not be around you and I really don't want to talk with you, share Jesus with them. Show them some love. Show them some compassion. Be long-suffering. And what you'll begin to see is how things begin to change. Kindness changes things, folks. I'll share an old story with you. Many years ago, stopped a guy on a traffic stop. And from that moment, I walked up, said, Officer Nobles, yak, 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 yak. Behind my glasses, my shades, I'm thinking, yeah, boy, here we go again. Look, dude, I was going to give you a warning, but you're changing that real quickly. And we went on and discussed and kept going. He kept just, ah, nah, 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 nah. So we did our business, and I ended it with, you never end it with have a nice day because you just ruin his day, right? I said, I appreciate your time and your courtesy. And he says, wait a minute. Dude, I was going to let you go. Here we're going to go again. He said, what do you mean? Thank you for your time and courtesy. I said, I meant just what I said. He said, I've been anything but courteous to you. I said, yes, sir, I know. He said, I wouldn't have given you the time of day, but you had them red and blue lights on me. I don't have no choice. I said, yes, sir, I know. He said, then why do you thank me for my time and my courtesy? And I said, well, it's real simple. I'm doing the job I was called to do, not by the city, not by the state, but what my God taught me to do. I don't know what's ahead of you, but it could be I stopped you from speeding down the road where they've had a wreck or something. I don't know. And nope, you haven't been courteous. Matter of fact, you've been a butt. I said, but I don't take that personal. It's my Lord tells me to love everybody. So thank you for your time and courtesy. He said, you know, I was going to fight this ticket, but I'll be glad to pay it 10 times over. It wasn't my intent when I said it. It was, yeah, I guess it was. A little of it was to make him feel ashamed of what he had done. But you know what? That little bit of love, that little bit of compassion. Now, don't get me wrong. We wasn't bosom buddies or nothing else. Never saw him again. But you and I, and I thought about that before, I shared Jesus with him right there. Really wasn't on my mind to do, but it was. And it is what happened. And I've thought about that since then as I come in contact with people that you have to sometimes just sit back. In all honesty, you're in the very first part of verse 4. Love suffers long. You suffer through that contact, whatever it may be. But you know what? Jesus suffered with me many a year. Many a time he could have quit and said, yep, I'm done. You don't pay attention. I've told you over and over and over, I'm done telling you. And he doesn't. Sharing Jesus is sharing his character, which is love. I invite you to bow your head, close your eyes. Oftentimes, the Lord knows, not oftentimes, he always knows better than we know. Sometimes, though, it is just that moment that those folks need to be able to feel a little bit of love. And it doesn't come from me and you. It comes from the Lord who lives within us. I watch the world around here and see the anger that people have. And all they need to do is be a little patient, a little long-suffering, show a little love. I encourage you to share Jesus. Look around this room, and most everyone in this room knows Jesus Christ. From what I see, most of you do everything in sharing the Lord. You pray for one another. You bring food when it's important. You give clothing. But think for a moment about why you do those things. You see, if you do it just because you think it's an obligation, then it means nothing, just as Paul said. You just sound like a big old gong or a clanging cymbal. But when you do it from the heart to serve Jesus Christ, who said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Sharing the good news and sharing Jesus and his love is His commandment. I preach not only to you, but to myself in everyday life. Let us keep that focus. When we talk about keeping our eyes on Jesus, is keeping focused on His character, sharing His love, sharing His patience, being long-suffering, bearing all things. Paul ends that scripture by, he says, faith, hope, and love are all important, but the greatest of those is love. Without love, there is no hope. For without love, there is no faith. We have a world dying, screaming for help. They're drowning in the sin that abounds. The only cure for that disease of sin is love. It's Jesus Christ. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for each one here this morning. Father, I thank You for loving me. I thank You for loving others that are here today, each and every one of us. Lord, we are Your beacon of light, and forgive us because there's times where we don't shine bright. There's times, as a matter of fact, You can't tell any difference between us or anyone else in this whole world, because we failed to show Your love that fills our life. Lord, clean our windows. Let us be that shining light up on the hill. That lighthouse that shows folks around us the way out of the darkness. Let us repay those who loved us enough to tell us about You. Most importantly, let us love You for the love that You've given us by sharing with one another as well as others. Been there when you're really down. Been there when you didn't want nobody else around. You know, Lord, the greatest thing of all, that's when I needed others that were showing Your love most of all. Let us be part of that. Let us be thankful for those opportunities. Your job was to make a way that we could be in the kingdom and family of God. Our job is to show the others that same way. All the preaching in the world won't do it, but our actions prove it. Thank You for giving us a joy that cannot be quenched. Thank You for the fire You put in our souls. Ignite it. Let it burn. Thank You for the field that is in front of us where people are searching and desiring to know the truth. Let us share that truth. His name is Jesus. You've made a promise You'll give us the right words, the right timing, and everything that we need. Because You live inside of us. At that very moment, You'll give us everything that we need to share. All we got to do is be willing. Help us to be willing. Help us to listen to Your prompting of Your Holy Spirit. Help us to have our eyes open to see the opportunity and to seize it, not of ourselves, but for You. Father, I thank You for each one here. I pray Your blessings upon them and every household they represent. Lord, ask for Your safe travels as we go our separate ways until we have the opportunity to come and worship You together again. I look forward to the victories, to the praises we can give You for the opportunities You've allowed us to have. Thank You for the fact that if we jump at those opportunities, You not only lead us to spread the good news, but Lord, You bless us as well. That just keeps our joy always up on a high level. Thank You, Jesus, for showing us the way to forgive. as much as those men and women did the things to you long ago, we do them as well. Thank you for hollering out to the Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Thank you for being compassionate. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.